Welcome to On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of On This Day in Tudor History. Where am I taking you to today? Well, I'm taking you to the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. For On This Day in Tudor History, the 1st of February 1587, Queen Elizabeth I called her secretary, William Davison, to her and asked him to bring her the death warrant of Mary, Queen of Scots. She then signed it. Mary, Queen of Scots, had been tried in October 1586 for her involvement in the Babington Plot, a plot to assassinate Queen Elizabeth I and to replace her with Mary as Queen. As the trial closed, Mary demanded that she should be heard in front of Parliament or the Queen, but she was fighting a losing battle. Sentence was delayed as long as possible by order of Elizabeth, but on the 25th of October, the commission reconvened and found Mary guilty. On the 29th of October, Parliament met to discuss Mary, the Babington plot, and her role in the murder of her second husband, Henry Stuart, Lord Darnley. Parliament decided that they should petition Elizabeth to execute Mary. This put Elizabeth in a rather difficult position. Mary was family, being descended from Margaret Tudor, Elizabeth's aunt, and she was a fellow monarch. Elizabeth did not want to be accused of regicide. On the 4th of December, Mary was publicly proclaimed guilty. And on this day in 1587, Elizabeth called Davison to her, asking him to bring the execution warrant for her to sign. Elizabeth signed it, but she told Davison to ask her spymaster, Sir Francis Walsingham, to write to Sir Amias Paulet, Mary's jailer, in his own name, asking him to kill Mary. This would enable Elizabeth to be rid of Mary without taking any responsibility for her death. Instead, Paulet would be acting privately under the bond of association. Historian John Guy describes the bond of association as a license to kill. Anyone signing the bond, which was drawn up by Walsingham and William Cecil, Lord Burghley, in 1584, after the 1583 Throckmorton plot, was swearing to pursue, as well by force of arms as by all other means of revenge, anyone plotting to cause harm to the Queen. Paulet was understandably horrified, protesting that God forbid that I should make so foul a shipwreck of my conscience. Meanwhile, Cecil called a secret meeting of Elizabeth's Privy Council, and they agreed to send the signed warrant to Fotheringay Castle, where Mary was being held. Cecil appointed the Earls of Shrewsbury and Kent to direct the execution, and the council agreed to keep Elizabeth in the dark until the deed was done. On the 8th of February 1587, Mary, Queen of Scots, was executed at Fotheringay. Although Elizabeth was furious with her council, so much so that Cecil fled to his home and Davison was thrown into the Tower, John Guy points out that whatever happened to Mary, whether she was assassinated or executed, Elizabeth could deny any responsibility. She had carefully contrived things so that she would win whatever happened. If Mary was killed under the bond of association, Elizabeth could disclaim responsibility. If Cecil covertly sealed the warrant and sent it to Fotheringay behind her back, she could claim she had been the victim of a court conspiracy. That's what John Guy says in his book. Clever. We'll never know the truth of what happened, but Elizabeth was finally free of her enemy. Also on this day in Tudor history, the 1st of February 1554, Queen Mary I gave a rousing speech at Guildhall to rally Londoners to her cause and to oppose Wyatt's rebellion. I'll give you a link to last year's video to find out all about it and what exactly Mary said. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.